Last time we began discussing the Isser Rechitza for an Avel, Toch Shiva, and we discussed whether there is potentially any difference between the dispensation of Titvitzoa, that an Avel is permitted to wash himself and to rid himself of dirt, and the din of an Istinus. So we noted that the Baal Yeshulchan had suggested and rejected the following possibility, that maybe when it comes to the din of Titvitzoa, the critical factor is that it's not considered a rechitza shel tanug, that the only rechitza that's asur for an avel is a rechitza shel tanug, and if you're merely washing yourself to remove dirt, that's not considered shel tanug. As opposed to an istinus, that's a different level. There, objectively, there isn't any dirt to get rid of per se. He's just overly sensitive, and in a sense, but l'daito eisa kol adam, for the normal person, that wouldn't be considered a rechitza she'enol shel tanug, and maybe shel tanug. But for him subjectively, he is in a situation of tsar, the Malcolm tsar l'gazir rabbanon, and that only makes sense if we're talking about avelus derabbanon and not avelus yom rishon, according to those rishonim who hold avelus yom rishon deraisa, and that would be the theoretical basis of a shach's recommendation that l'chachili should be machmir and istinus shouldn't wash himself on day one. But we noted that we quoted Tosus in Brachos Tetzayin Mebeis, but in reality many of the rishonim present it that way. If you look at the Ritva there, if you look at the Rashba there in the Sugya Brachos, many of the Rishonim present that essentially istinus also is not considered a rechitza shel tanug. But upon further reflection, you're going to have to say something like that anyway, meaning that istinus fundamentally is also not considered a rechitza shel tanug, or there isn't any, or the basis of the heter of istinus is not only because it's a derabbanan. Because after all, the Gemara there says that Reb Gamliel, who was Rochetz V'layla Shemes Ishto, the night after his first day of Avelus, he was assuming that Aninus Laila Derabbanan. So if you hold that Avelus Yom Rishon Daraisa, so what that means to say is that the Avelus Yom Rishon is Minotora, the Avelus of the night that follows Yom Rishon is Midarabbanan, and therefore he was willing to be Mekel because the Avelus on the subsequent night is only an Avelus Derabbanan. And Aninus, there is a paradigm, a model for Avelus. But the Ritva there points out that half of the Rishonim, as we know, hold that Avelus Yarmishin is also the Rabbanan. So if Avelus Yarmishin is the Rabbanan anyway, why does the Gemara have to say that he holds Aninus Laila the Rabbanan? What difference does it make even if Aninus Laila is the Raisa, even if Avelus Yarmishin is the Raisa? Sorry, even if Aninus Laila is the Raisa, but the whole concept of Avelus is only the Rabbanan anyway. So why is the Gemara saying Aninus Laila Ksavar Aninus Laila Derabbanan? So the Ritva says, no, even if you hold that Avelus Yarmishon is Derabbanan, but there still is a certain Ke'en Daraisa, that the Huge Avelus are somewhat patterned after Aninus. Aninus is a concept Minotaur. It's true that Aninus Minotaur has very limited applications for Achilas Kachim and for Achilas Maiser Sheni and to be back of Karbanos, but Avelus somehow is patterned after that Ke'en Daraisa, and therefore if you held that Aninus Laila Derabbanan, and if he held Aninus Laila Derabbanan, so because of that Ke'en Daraisa, it would be inappropriate to be Mekel for an Istinus to be Rochetz that night. So even if you hold that Avelus Yom Rishon is Derabbanan, and there's no Avelus Minotaur, but it's still patterned after a Din Daraisa, there's still a Ke'en Daraisa, and that Ke'en Daraisa is stronger on day one, because Aninus Minotaur is on day one, and therefore it would be appropriate for an Istinus, or it would be inappropriate for an Istinus to be Rochetz on day one, even if you hold that Avelus Yom Rishon is Derabbanan. Okay. But Lemaisa, I'm not aware of anyone, Beferish, who writes that an Avil who is covered with Titvitzoa, who is dirtied with Titvitzoa, should avoid being Rochetz, or getting rid of that Titvitzoa, on Yom Rishon. We should still point out that the heter of Titvitzoa for an Avil is not Beferish in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about Titvitzoa, as we noted last time, in the context of Yom Kippur, right? Yuma Ayin Zayin Amid Beis. There the Gemara says that on Yom Kippur it's mutter to be Rochetz Titvitzoa. And there the Gemara uses that lashon of Rochetz Kedarka. Now, it stands to reason that it's a kal v'chomer from Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the Isser Rechitz on Yom Kippur, we know is more chomer, right? On Yom Kippur, it's usher to be rochets, even bitzonein, even mixas agut. And Avo, we said last time, is allowed to be rochets, mixas gufa bitzonein. It could be rochets, panu yadu rakla bitzonein, but that's not true on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, even mixas agut is usher bitzonein. So it stands to reason that if there's a heter of tit vitzoa when it comes to Yom Kippur, then kal v'chomer is going to be a heter of tit vitzoa when it comes to an Avil Tel Shiva. The Ramban is the one Rishon that spells it out most explicitly, and that's what our Pesach and Shulchan Aruch is based on, but for whatever it's worth, the Gemara doesn't explicitly discuss Tit V'Tzoa in the context of an Avil, and the Rambam also doesn't explicitly discuss the dispensation of Tit V'Tzoa in Hilchas Avelis. He has it in Hilchas Yom HaKippurim, he has it in Shvisas Asur Perek Gimel, but when it comes to Hilchas Avelis, Perek Hay, so there he just notes that there's an Isser of Rechitza, but he doesn't spell out the carve-outs, the dispensations, the grounds for Kula. Bechlal is sometimes helpful when it comes to understanding the Nehuge Avelis to compare and contrast the specific Nehugim as, or to line them against our practice on Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim, Shara Inuyim, whether they're Dereis or whether they're Derabbanim, but Shara Inuyim are based on a notion of Inuy, of the affliction of Yom Kippur. So that's more of a Tanis Tzibor type of halacha. When it comes to Avelus, so we'll see, well, if we flesh out the specific Nihug Avelus, but it's based on Avelus, lack of Tanug slash Tsar, so there is significant overlap, but the halachas are not always the same. And Tisha B'Av falls somewhere in the middle. That's the Briska Rav has a piece in, he has two pieces in Hilchos Tanis. On the first piece, it develops the idea that when it comes to Tisha B'Av is a fusion. Tisha B'Av has some elements of a Tanis Tzibor, and some of the Nehuge Avelis, if you will, on Tisha B'Av are based on Tanis Tzibor. But in addition to Avelis, so the Muskal Rishon is, we'd assume, that Tisha B'Av is based on Avelis, so the Nehugim and Tisha B'Av are essentially Nehugim Avelis. But it's not only Nehugim Avelis, there are also elements of Tanis Tzibor, which sometimes are more common than Nehugim Avelis. So, on Yom Kippur, it's Aser Lahoshet Afilu Etzba Bechamin, or even Betzonin, and that's true on Tisha B'Av as well. So that's not an Avelis halacha. An Avelis is mutter to be Rochet Mixas Gufa Betzonin. But in Tisha B'Av, it's also to be Rochets Mixas Gufa Betzonin, because Tisha B'Av, in addition to having the elements of Avelis, also have elements of a Tanis Tzibor. The Gemara has different indications. The Gemara Msachim Nindalim Dalim Beis, Msachim Nindalim Beis, there the Gemara says, Ein Bein Tisha B'Av Yom HaKippur Melech Ezez Sveik HaMasir Ezez Sveik HaMutter. But it sounds like, short of that, all the halachas are the same. Then the Gemara quotes a brisa that Ein Bein Tisha B'Av L'Tanis Tzibor. Elish is Aser Basiyas Malacha V'Zamotar Basiyas Malacha B'Makam Shenavu. So first the Gemara says Tisha B'Av and Avil are essentially the same. Sorry. Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are essentially the same. Zes Veiko Aser Zes Veiko Mutar. And then they're essentially the same except for Asiyas Malacha. But we know from elsewhere that there are elements of Avelis and Tisha B'Av as well. So that's what the Briska Rav develops, that both of these ideas are present in the concept of Tisha B'Av. They have to figure out the details of how that all fleshes out the halacha. We quoted last time, again from the Ba'al Yishol, that he thought that the lashon of the Mechaber here in Simon Shin Pei Aleph for Rochitz Kedarko, again, that if an avil is dirty, v'tzoa, he's allowed to be Rochitz Kedarko. So the Ba'al Yishol thought Rochitz Kedarko sounds like even if it would be sufficient for the purpose of cleanliness to remove the dirt v'tzonein, he'd be permitted to remove it b'chamin as well. So that's not necessarily muchach, especially because, as we pointed out, that Lashon of Rochitz Kedarko is based on the Gemara in Yumayin Zayin in the context of Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur says that if you have Tit V'Tzoa, then Rochitz Kedarko. The Rambam there in Shvisas Asor Perek Gimel quotes that Lashon of Rochitz Kedarko in the Yom Kippur context. And our citation of Shulchan Aruch in the Avilus context is based on the Ramban, who, as we said, presented this halacha in a fused fashion. But that's not presumably not the case by Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur, if you're allowed to remove the dirt, but if you can remove the dirt b'tzonein, presumably there's no hatter to remove the dirt b'chamin. In Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tishbav, it's more explicit. Simen Tav Kuf Nun Dalid Siv Tes. So there the Mechaber writes Tav Kuf Nun Dalid Siv Tes, that imayu yada milchlachos petit vitzawa, that if a person is dirty, mutir lirchos lahavir lichlich, you're allowed to wash yourself to remove the dirt, velo yitol kol yadav, elefi yatzorach lahavir lichlich, but you shouldn't wash all your hands, you should just wash what's necessary, the bare minimum, to remove the dirt. As long as Rosh Hashanah about this yesterday, he thought that the pasha should be for an avel. You wouldn't be allowed to use chamin if you could get the dirt off b'tzonein. If it'll be easier to get the dirt off the chamin, so then it could be you could use chamin. But if you can get it off just the same, so then the difference between tzonein and chamin could essentially be, if you're using chamin now, so that becomes a little bit shaltanuk. So if you're able to get the dirt off b'tzonein, he thought that there's no hetzer to use chamin. But again, because of that difference between Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur on the one hand and Avelus on the other hand, that Rechitzas Kol Nixas Aguf B'Tzonein is Asra and Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, but Mutter and an Avel, so that's why when it comes to an Avel, there's no din of Akishrei Esbosa. When you wash in Tila Sedayim on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, so you're supposed to only wash Ad Akishrei Esbosa. What's that based on? So the Beis Yosef there in Simen Tav Kuf Yud Gimel, in Hilchos Yom Kippur, in Tavkuf Nandalid, in Hilchos Tishbav, Tavkuf Yergimel, Tavkuf Nandalid, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rebbeinu Rucham, that the Rebbeinu Rucham seems to compare the Heter, well, the Rebbeinu Rucham is the source of this halacha, that you shouldn't wash your whole hand, it's sufficient for the purposes of the Tisidai, Mikra Din, to wash HaKishreis Bosav, so that's all that is mutter on Tishbav Yom Kippur. By an Avil, that's not true. Because by an avel, nixas gufa b'tzonein is mutter anyway. So there's no reason to restrict netila sedayim. Happens to be, I noticed that there's a Rebbeinu Manoach, paragimel hilchos shvisas asor. Rebbeinu Manoach assumes in the context of Yom Kippur that when you wash netila sedayim, it would be mutter to wash your entire hand as you normally do. Because he assumes this is the same halacha as tzitzoah. So mali, if you have mamish tzitzoah on your body that you're allowed to wash off, and mali, if you're washing the tilas adayim for ruach ra, whatever reason we wash the tilas adayim in the morning, so then that's the halachic equivalent of tzitzoah. So just like by tzitzoah, rochitz kedarka, meaning you can wash whatever's necessary to get rid of the dirt. So when it comes to the tilas adayim shashachris, the norm for washing the tilas adayim shashachris is to wash your whole hand, so you can wash your whole hand as well. But that's not acceptable halacha. We accept this Rebbeinu Rucham that the Beis Yosef quotes, but that's only true when it comes to Yom Kippur Tisha B'Av. It doesn't apply for an Avil. An Avil is mutter, lirchot mikvas gufa b'tzonin. Okay. So let's move on to discuss the Isser of Sicha. So when it comes to Avelus, as we quoted last time, the Gemara in Tanis, the Gemara quotes Rechitza and Sicha together. Tanis Yud Gimel Amid Beis. So the conclusion of the Gemara is the Hilchasa Avil Aser Lirchas Kol Gufa Bei Mechamin Bei Mitzonein Kol Shiva Avil Pana Yad Viragla Bechamin Aser Mitzonein Mutter Avil Aser Chafila Kol Shiva is Aser. So as opposed to Rechitza, where there's a heter of nixas aguf bitzonein, the starting point is that sicha is aser the kol shehu. There's no heter of nixas aguf. V'im la'aver es hazuama mutter. However, if the reason that you're being sach is la'aver es hazuama, so that would be permissible. So that's what we paskin here in Shulchan Aruch Tzitz Beis, that la'aver es hazuama is mutter. Now, when it comes to Yom Kippur, that's not the din. The Gemara says in Yuma, Ayin Zayin Amid Beis, Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Asir Lirchos Mikvas Gufa Kachol Gufo. When it comes to Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wash even part of your body, even Mitzone. If you have dirt, as we said, you're allowed to be rochis kedarko. Asur lasuch mixas gufo chichol gufo. You're not allowed to be sach mixas gufo. V'im hayachola osha hayilo chatatin berosho sach kedarko v'enechoshesh. However, if you're sick, or if you have this disease on your head, then you're allowed to be sach in the normal fashion. The Eina Choshesh. So the Machlokas Rishonim, whether when it comes to Sicha on Yom Kippur, there's a middle ground, meaning that the Gemara essentially outlines over here when it comes to Rechitza, and the Rishalmi is more beferish about this, but that's how the Rishonim will here understand, that Rechitza Shel Tana Gezasar on Yom Kippur, but Lahavir Titvitsoa. So that's not shel tanug, that's simply for a functional purpose, and that would be mutter. So when it comes to sicha, the Gemara says that the default is that sicha is going to be usher in any part of the body. But if you're sick, so then it's permissible. What about lahavirus azuama? So the Gemara in Tanis talks about lahavirus azuma for an avel. Lahavirus azuma isn't a chola. It's not chatatan al rosho, he's uncomfortable. So where does that fall in terms of sicha? Is a mutter lasach on Yom Kippur lahavir sazuama? That the Gemara doesn't hear say beferish. The Tosus assumes here ayin zayin amad alat diber maskul minayin lasicha shehikah shesiyah. The Tosus here ayin zayin amad alat diber maskul minayin assumes that any sicha she'ena shel tanug is going to be mutter on Yom Kippur. So just like lahavir sazuama is mutter for an avel, so lahavir sazuma is mutter on Yom Kippur as well. That's the bottom line of Tosfos Dibur Maskul Minayin, that as long as it's not shel tanug, then even lahavir sazuma is going to be mutter on Yom Kippur. But the Rambam clearly did not understand that way. If you look in the Rambam Shvisa Sasor, Perek Gimel Halachates. The Rambam writes, "Aser lasuch mikvas gufo chichol gufo." You're not allowed to anoint any part of your body on Yom Kippur. Bein sicha shel tanug, bein sicha she'ena shel tanug. Whether it is a pleasurable sicha, whether it is a non-pleasurable sicha, even sicha she'ena shel tanug is prohibited. V'im ayachola, alfa pi she'en basakana. But if it's a cholish eim basakana, then you could be sach. So the Rambam understood that the only dispensation, the only heter on Yom Kippur is cholish eim basakana. And chatatim al rosho is a form or analogous to cholish eim basakana. But anything else, even a sicha she'ena shel tanug, presumably even lahavir sazuma, would be aser on Yom Kippur. And that position of the Rambam is consistent with a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi appears in a few places. One of them is the second paragraph of Ma'aser Sheni. It appears in Yuma and Tanis as well. The Yerushalmi has the following lashon: B'yom ha-kippurim, bein sicha shehi shel tanug, bein sicha she'eino shel tanug is aser. So Yom Kippur, even a sicha she'eino shel tanug is prohibited. B'tisha b'av, ubetainas sibor, besicha shi shel tanug aser, v'she'ena shel tanug mutter. However, on Tisha B'Av, a sicha she'ena shel tanug, lahavir sazuama, would be mutter. Okay, so the Shami, if you look in the Nosek Kehav and the Rambam, there's a little bit of a discussion about Girsa issues in the Shami, but the Shami Lefanenu seems explicit that on Yom Kippur, there is no heter of sicha even lahavir es hazuama. According to Tosfos, presumably, if this is the correct use of the Yerushalmi, Tosfos would have to assume that the Yerushalmi is not lahalacha. Tosfos, who assumes that sicha would be mutter on Yom Kippur lahavir sazuama, would have to assume that the Yerushalmi is not lahalacha. why would you distinguish between Sicha and Rechitza if you accept the Psak of the Rambam and you accept the Yerushalmi that and presumably one could at least for the Rambam you don't have to assume that this Machlokes is Bavli Yerushalmi. You could well read the Yerushalmi into the Gemara here in Yuma. The Gemara distinguishes between Stam Sicha and Chola. So the Rambam could well understand that the Stam Sicha includes even a Sicha Sheino Shel Tanug, and the only head there is Chola. So why would you distinguish between Rechitza, where even in Yom Kippur there's a heter for Lich Vitzoach, and Sicha, where according to the Rambam there's no heter for Lehavir Sazuma? Rabbeinu Manoach suggests there on the Rambam, Rabbeinu Manoach Perek Amid Alacha there in Perek Gimel Shvi, sorry. Yeah, the Rabbeinu Manoach there in Perek Gimel Shvisa Sasor. He writes that you could have the following Svara Lechalik. That when it comes to Rechitza, it's the norm for people to become dirty. It's a norm for people to have lichluch on their bodies. And therefore, if a person is dirty and washes the dirt off, that doesn't appear to anyone as any form of rechitza shel tanuk. Everyone knows that people get dirty and they wash themselves off with water. So there's no appearance of engaging in rechitza shel tanuk. However, when it comes to sicha is something where the default is that is shel tanuk. I guess in the pre-deodorant era, so people wouldn't engage in sicha stam lehavir sezuama. So even if you're doing it lehavir sezuama, so it's not readily apparent that that's the case. It's not readily apparent that it's ein shel tanug, and therefore the default would be that it should be usur. That's the Lech Mishnah's Rabbeinu Manoach's understanding of why lahalacha you would distinguish between sicha and rechitza. And that's what you pass in lahalacha in Hilchos Yom Kippur, Siman Tav Reish Yud Aleph, Sif Aleph. So it's prohibited to be sach in Yom Kippur, even lahavir sezuma, and only heter is for a chol she'ein bo sakan. Okay. What about Tisha B'Av? So the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Tanios, Perek Hei Halacha Yud. Perek Hei Halacha Yud. Regarding Tisha B'Av, Asur B'Rechitza Be Mechamin Be Mitzonen Afila Hoshed Etzba B'Mayim. The Asur B'Sicha Shel Tanuk. And Sicha Shel Tanuk is Asur. Ubin Ila Fafanda, Ubitashin Shamita. Kiyom Hakipurim. Again, Asur B'Sicha Shel Tanuk B'Nilas Asandol B'Tashra Shamita Kiyom Hakipurim. So what jumps out at you here? I'm sorry?
It's only Shel Tanuk.
And he says it's Kiyom Hakipurim. As we know, the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Kippur, we just saw, says that Sicha Asur Ben Shel Tanuk Ben Shena Shel Tanuk. And here the Rambam says, Tisha B'Av is Asur Shel Tanuk, sounds like She'ena Shel Tanuk would be Mutter. And yet the Rambam says, Yom HaKippur. Unless somehow you read Yom HaKippurim, I'm sorry?
The
list of three things.
Sicha,
Nilas Hasan, and Tashra Shemitah. So unless you say that Yom HaKippurim is just modifying Tashra Shemitah and Nilas Hasan, and not Sicha Shel Tanuk, but why would you... I'm sorry? Well, you would say Shel Tanuk at all if that's the din. Meaning if the din is only Shel Tanuk and Ena Shel Tanuk is Mutter, so then he has to tell you. So why does he take Yom Kippur?
What? I guess I don't think maybe a little off after, but once the list, clearly the other two are Yom Kippur and
right.
Shel Tanuk is the flaw, what's Yom Kippur?
So the Lech HaMishnah is bothered by this. Lech HaMishnah says, what's this Kiyama Kippurim? And he leaves it with a Tzarachian. What are we passing by Tisha B'Av? So in Simen Taf Kuf Nun Dalid Seif Tes Vav, Sicha Eina Asura Ela Shel Tanug Ava Mishi Yesh Lo Chatat Mirosho Sach Kedarko Ve'eno Choshesh. So the Mechaber essentially quotes the Gemara, but doesn't explicitly tell you about the middle category. The Mechaber tells you what we know from the Gemara. Well, with a little bit of editorializing, right? It says, So the Mechaber writes, "Sicha ena asura ela shel tanuk." And what's the contrast? It's chatat mirosho. The Gemara by Yom Kippur just says Sicha is Aser and Chatat is Mutter. The Gemara in Hilch by Avelis and Tanis says that Lahavir Sezua is Mutter. He says Eina Sur Ela Shel Tanug. And what's but the carve out? He only says he mentions Chatat and he doesn't mention Lahavir Sezua. So the Mishabrua here in Beir Halacha, Dira Maskel Sicha, assumes that the stronger diyuk in the Mechaber is the first part. Sicha ino suela sheltanuk. Anything na sheltanuk, including Lahavir Sezuma, is going to be mutter. So that's what the Mishabrua assumes. He assumes that Tisha B'Av in that regard should be like Avelis and not like Yom Kippur. But he's bothered why the Mechaber isn't as explicit as he is in Hilchos Avelis. Here in Shin Pei Aleph, the Mechaber is explicit that Lahavir is Zuam as Mutter. And in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, the Mechaber is Lush and his little Sassim. So, Mishnah Berurah ultimately comes down Lekula, but he's bothered by the apparent inconsistency in formulation. And then he quotes other Achronim, he quotes Amata Yehuda, who's Machmir, that Lahavir Sezuma is also. Lehalacha, on Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Willig is machmir on this, that you shouldn't use deodorant on Tisha B'Av. If I recall, I'm pretty sure that Rabbi Eider in his 3 weeks Sefer quotes from Moshe, that Moshe was Mako. And I think in the Kitzer books, they quote Lekula. I looked in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, so I think they quote that Rosh Hashanah Zamen was Mako, that Rav Yashiv is Machmir. No, because of this topic of the Mishnah Berurah, and it's not so clear how the Mishnah Berurah goes to Machlokas. It's not so clear. He has a piece, he has two pieces where he talks about this in print, in the Am Mordechai on Moed. There's a piece on Shari Nuyam where he talks about a little, and then in the back he has the Kuntras on Hilchos Avelis, so he talks about a little there as well. But Lemaisa, Rabbi Willig is machmir on deodorant for Tisha B'Av. Now, I think you could, what does the Havir Sezuam mean? Lavir Zuma is you are sweaty and then you're using deodorant to fix a situation. Or if you put on deodorant as a matter of course proactively, is that also Lahavir Zuma? So I think Rabbi Willa would say that in Avil, where there's a heter Lahavir Zuma, you don't have to be in a situation of being overly sweaty to put on deodorant. You can put on deodorant to prevent becoming overly sweaty. Ramosh is quoted in Rabbi Felder's Sefer. First of all, he quotes Ramosh there as assuming that the default, the way he presents it, is that the default is that Sikh would be Asr Kol Shloshim. I didn't quite follow that, because the Ramaz Minag and Sif Aleph, that were Machman Rechisa Kol Shloshim, I don't think there's evidence that that applies to Sikha. And the Baal Yishochon writes explicitly here that there's no Isser of Sikha, there's no Minag of the Machman Sikha Kol Shloshim. If I read Rabbi Felder's citation correctly, he seems to be saying that you should be Machmir Kol Shloshim. And the way he presents it is that if a person feels exceedingly sweaty, so then he can put on unscented deodorant. But you shouldn't put on deodorant stam if you're not yet well sweaty. So it sounds like he's assuming, yeah, there is a heter of Lahavir Zuma. Lahavir Zuma means if you're Zahum, you're in an uncomfortable situation, then you can Disach Lahavir Zuma. Yeah.
Who was the person saying that it was okay?
On Tisha B'Av?
We were talking about right now.
Now we're talking about Avelis.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Rabbi Willig assumes that you can, an Avel can put on deodorant as a matter of course, as opposed to Tisha B'Av. And Ramosh is quoted in Rabbi Felder seeming to say, again, it's a second-hand citation, that if you're sweaty, so then you can put on deodorant, but not as a matter of course. Okay. Yeah, so. So the poskim don't really distinguish. Now, you could have argued in theory that a stick is a sicha and spray is not. But the poskim assume that perfume is also a form of sicha and then a spray also would be considered sach. If anything fragrant, some of the chal sicha. Okay. The Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Dalid, in the context of the sug of Meis Aviv Shel Chatanim Shel Kala, has the following line. The Gemara says, "Ein monin tachshitin min akala kol shloshim yom." That you shouldn't prevent a kala from adorning herself with tachshitin for 30 days. So that sounds like this is a heter dafka for a kala. Any other avil, a woman's an avelis, she would be prohibited from tachshitin, and there's a special heter for a kala. The Rush there writes in Siman Vav, the first paragraph of Ksubas, the Rush Siman Vav, that it must be the Chiddush of this Gemara is talking about Avela Shiva. When it comes to Avela Shloshim, it would clearly be permissible for any married woman to engage in Tachshitin, because there's a notion of Shalot Tiskan Al Baila, that a woman should look presentable to her husband. So then it's Pasha that during Shloshim, there would be no restrictions. And the Chiddush of the Gemara is that Tachshitin are aser for stam women during Shiva, but would be mutter for a kala. So that's what the Rush writes there in Siman Vav. Rav Avadya and the Chazon Avadya quotes the Ra'ah and the Sugya there, who basically says the same thing. That's essentially what we paskin in Shulchan Aruch here in the end of our Siman. Isha lo techechol lo tefarkes bimei evla. So that's also that Gemara there in Ksubas that talks about kichol pirkos, of using rouge and makeup or whatever the specifics are. So women shouldn't do that when she's in avelis. Shekol elu asurim ke rechitza. So those are equivalent to rechitza. Ve'eshes ish ein asura ela toch shiva. However, if a woman's married, so these restrictions only apply to shiva. Aval achar zayim mutares b'chol kidei shela tiskan al bayla. But after shiva, a married woman would be permitted to engage in kichul pirkos. Parenthetically, you have to figure out, and the Mechaber's formulation here is that these are aser kirechitza, and therefore are aser in principle called shloshim. And rechitza is only aser called shiva. Shloshim is the chumra the ramah, the minig of the ramah, but the Mechaber doesn't have that. So what's this formulation of aser kirechitza, and therefore aser kol shloshim? Leave that aside. And then the Mechaber writes, kala she'ira avil toch Avel tov shloshim yom l'chupasa. So if a woman just got married and she becomes an avela during the first 30 days, then mutaris is kashet afilu tov zayin. So then it's permissible for her to adorn herself even during shiva. So it sounds like it would be aser for women in avelus, definitely toch shiva, to wear jewelry. Tzitz Eliezer writes like this: Chelak Yud Aleph Siman Ayin Gimel, Chelak Yud Aleph Siman Ayin Gimel. That the practice should be that women who are in avelus should not wear jewelry. And he says that he quotes a remez for this from the Sefer Ruach Chaim. Now the pasuk by the Chayde Egel, Vayisa Baluv Lo Shasu Ish Ed Yom Alav. So Klaius will remove their ornaments. That's a little bit of a siyua, a remez, to the fact that a woman toch avelus should not wear jewelry. Rabbi Felder quotes from Moshe that a woman tell Shiva should not wear jewelry except for a simple wedding band. So he writes, I guess a simple non-ornate wedding band is not really ornamental. So he quotes from Moshe that would be permissible, but other than that, a woman shouldn't wear jewelry during Shiva. And the Rosh Hashanah assumes that way as well. Rabbi Willig, he wrote this up in, this is in the Avelis pieces in the end of the Amordechai and Brachos, Simon Aleph Osei. So he's bothered that we don't really find explicitly, other than this Lashon of the Gemara in Ksubis, in the context of all the Nihugi Avelis, you don't find any reference to not wearing jewelry. So Rabbi Willer points out, if you look in the Mordechai here in Marikata on Tuf Kuf Kuf Dalid, the Mordechai Tuf Kuf Kuf Dalid, the way he understands Tachshitin, the Mordechai has the following Lashon: Tachshitin mashma filo havara seyar. Tachshitin means removing hair. Waxing, taking hair off the body. But not jewelry in the classic sense. So Rabbi Willer thinks maybe that's really the Kavan of the Gemara in Ksubis. And if that's the case, then there's no source for prohibiting jewelry during Avelis. In the end of the Siman here, in the end of that Sif, the Mechaber has the following halacha: Bogeres She'ira Evel, a Bogeres, literally a woman who's 12 and a half years old, if she becomes an avela, kevin shemez sinase, she's holding by getting married, so she has to look presentable, then mutaris bekichul pirkus. So she can put on makeup because she has to look presentable if she's holding by looking to get married. So both the Tzitz Eliezer and that Tshuva we just quoted, and Rav Avadi and the Chazon Avadi here, assume that nowadays the ages are a little different. Most women don't look to get married when they're 13 years old. So the Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Avadi say this halacha should apply when a woman is 16 or 17. The Sicily Esther says, really what he means is that you have to, it goes by the woman. When the woman feels that she's holding by looking to get married, so then this Esther, then the Heter would apply, but Sicily Esther would say, even if she's 16 or 17, but getting married is not on the horizon at the moment, so then this Heter of Kichul Pirchus wouldn't apply. In Siman Shin Pei Beis, we have the Isser of Ne'ilas HaSandal. Asser of Ne'ilas HaSandal, Dafka Shel Or, so leather is a problem, Aval Bian Palya Shel Beged, O Shel Gemi, O Shel Seir, O Shel Eitz, Mutter. But if it's a slipper, a sock, made out of cloth, or rubber, or hair, or wood, Mutter, She'ein Minal El Shel Or. Ne'ilas HaSandal means leather. Vimu shall eat some mechupa or usher, but if it's if there is some leather in it, even if it's primarily other material, that would be usher. Okay, so we know that in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, there's some discussion as to the status of tanug lo mino. If you have a shoe, which is a comfortable shoe, but it's not made out of leather, is that permissible to wear on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara has in Yevamos and Afkuf Beis Amid Beis, that's in the context of defining a minnow for chalitza purposes. So the Gemara there quotes, Echad minnow v'sandal v'anpalya lo yitayil behem b'yom kippurim, that you're not allowed to wear on Yom Kippur a minnow or a sandal or an palya. Lo mi bais lebais, lo mi mita lemita. Amar Rabbi de isbe kasisi umishum tanuk. The Vayi says the problem there, even if it's not made out of leather, is that it has pieces of leather in it, and that's considered to be tanuk. Or maybe even if it doesn't have pieces of leather, if it's tanuk. Amalei Rava. Is that true? So let's say you don't have leather, but it's still comfortable. Is that going to be usher in Yom Kippur? But Rabba bar Rafuna karach sudur akare, that he wrapped some material, he wrapped a sudur over his foot. So nothing can he went out in Yom Kippur. Alam Rabba lokasha kamen paya shalor kamen paya shal begat. So Abaye seems to say that if you have a shoe, which is shaltanic, which is comfortable, even if it's not made out of leather, then maybe usher in Yom Kippur. And Rabbi says, no, not true. And the anpalya, which is problematic, the slipper, which is problematic, is the slipper made out of leather. So the slipper or sock made out of beged would be permissible. So Rabbi showed him a similar halacha that we paskin like Rava, that tanug lo mino is mutar in Yom Kippur. So even if the shoe is comfortable, it's still going to be permissible. The Nimuka Yosef writes that way here. Daf Lam Gimel Amud Aleph Daf Pei Rif. Nimuka Yosef Lam Gimel Amud Aleph Daf Pei Rif. Dibur Maskol Kan Be'Antalya. And that's what the Taskos Lalacha in Hilchas Yom Kippurim Simin Taf Reish Yudalid Siv Katan Aleph. Taf Reish Yudalid Siv Katan Aleph. That he Cheshbin said, with the exception of the Balamor and the Smak, all the other Rishonim and the Sugin Yuma assume that Tanag Lominal is Mutter on Yom HaKippurim. And even though the Bach suggests maybe it should be Machmir, the Tav comes out that there's no reason to be Machmir. However, the position of the Rambam is less clear, and some understand the Rambam to Aser even Tanug below Minol the Yom HaKippurim. So the Rambam in Shvisa Sasor Paragimel Halacha Zayin. Asher lino ninal v'sandal afilu b'ragla v'achas. Umbutu lotes v'sandal shal sham shal gemi v'chayotze v'hen. V'korech adam beged al ragla v'yotze bo. Sharei koshi ha'aretz magia l'raglav umargish shehu yachif. So you can wrap a piece of cloth over your foot and walk out with it on Yom Kippur, because even though your foot is so wrapped, it still feels the hardness of the ground and you feel that you are barefoot. So what's difficult in the Rambam is that first the Rambam says without qualification that you're allowed to wear a sandal shel sham and shel gemi. Sham cork? I think in modern Hebrew is cork. So you're allowed to wear a sandal shel sham and shel gemi. And then he says, or you could wrap a cloth over your feet, and because then you'll feel barefoot. And if you wear sandals shel sham shel gemi, then you're also feeling barefoot. He didn't say that. So that's the issue with the Rambam here. So the Aruch Lener assumes, Aruch Lener in the Sugya Yevamos, that no, what's critical here in the Rambam is Koshi Aretz. The Rambam is paskening like Abaye against Rava. And Tanag Lamino is going to be Usur B'Yom HaKippurim. Problem is that the Rambam, this example of Korech Beged Al Raglav, that's what Rava quoted in the Gemara in Yevamos, not Abaye. So however you work out the Sugya Yevamos, that's not our concern so much for our purposes, but the Rambam definitely emphasizes this notion of Koshi Aretz, and that's why Samar Machmir B'Yom HaKippurim to not wear any kind of sneaker or slipper that's going to interfere with feeling Koshi Aretz. The Mishnah Berurah, while in principle B'Meiko, acknowledges the grounds to be Machmir, and Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Hay, my tough Reishu Dalas of Katan Hay. He writes that some Achronim are Machmir Bishal Eitz. Anything that's Megan Al Harega, where you don't feel that you're Yachef. So even though Ein Limchas Biyadam Akilim, because after all, Shulchan Aruch and Rav Achronim are Meiko. But the Mishnah Berurah recommends Misha Efshelo Nachem Lahachmir Bazeh V'Leilech Ben Paliyav Shebeged K'Nahug, that it's best to be Machmir if you can. Achein Emsarach Latzei Tachutza Nachem Yosef Shilabash Eilo Levadim Oa Koloshin V'lo Min Alayim Shel Or Sheish Bem Isser Medina Mashenken Eilu Sheim Rach Misham Chumra. So if you have to walk home, so you're not going to walk barefoot, so then you can put on your canvas sneakers. But L'chachila, better to be machmir and be choshesh for what seems to be the sheet of the Rambam, not to wear your canvas sneakers on Yom Kippur. So that's what the Rav Shechter quotes from the Rav is machmir, and Rav Shechter is machmir. But in general, the minhag olam on Yom Kippur is makel on this. Even though, presumably, there are stronger grounds to be makel for an avil, then even if you're going to be Machmir Yom Kippur, Shari Nuyin, whether or not it's a Dinda Raisa, Dinda Rabbanon, but that's presumably more Chomer than in Avel, and could be the Tam is different. There, we're talking about Inui. The definition of Inui may be different than the definition of Nihuk Avelus. So the notion of Koshi Aretz may be more pronounced when it comes to Yom Kippur than when it comes to Avelus. Tisha B'av also, Rav Vadi, her quotes, the Chida quotes from the Panim Me'iros that should be Machmer and Tisha B'av as well. But again, the more prevalent Minhag Olam is to be Makel definitely on Tisha B'av, Yom Kippur as well, and more reason to be Makel on for an Avon.